I've asked you to open in your Bibles to John chapter 20. Hallelujah. Look right here, if you would please. We're going to talk tonight about two kinds of faith. We touched on it last Wednesday night as we came together to finish the two-part series, Three Things About Powerful Faith. Amen? We touched on the two kinds of faith in that session, at the end of that session. We're going to look at it a little bit more here tonight. Amen? Two kinds of faith. We're talking about faith in this Wednesday night series, and we're learning a lot. Amen? We've learned about the new creation in Christ. Amen? We learned about the fact that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We learned that we're seated in heavenly places at the Father's right hand, which is a position of tremendous authority over Satan and demon powers. We've learned that we have the right to use the name of Jesus and to expect supernatural results. Anybody remember what else we talked about after that? We talked about the power of words. We talked about actions, corresponding actions of faith that produce supernatural results. Amen? In the last two sessions, we talked about three things about powerful faith. Amen? Number one, faith comes by hearing. You can't pray for faith. Well, you can if you're a rebel, but it's not going to get you anywhere. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, in hearing, according to the precious, holy, written Word of God. That's what Paul said in Romans 10:17. So we know that faith comes by hearing. Every time the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, increase my faith, he never did it. He told them how to do it. Amen? So faith comes how? And we saw in Proverbs 4:20-22, that faith enters in through the eye gate and through the ear gate. So faith comes by observation, by observing it, by hearing it. Amen? And faith works by?
Love.
Faith works. Thank you, Cece. I knew you meant love. Amen? Yes. Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by?
Love.
Amen? And we encourage you to live the type of life that causes other people to come around looking for your autograph, not your fingerprints. Amen? And faith is released through the mouth. Amen? Let's say that together. Faith is released through the mouth. Paul said it and David said it. He said, we believe, therefore we speak. Let's say that. We believe, therefore we speak. Amen? And Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain of human obstacles, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt that those things which he saith will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said that. Not me. Not Kenneth Hagin. Not Kenneth Copeland. Jesus said that. Amen? Hallelujah. Now tonight we're going to talk about the two kinds of faith. Right here, we'll start with the first kind of faith right here. I call this the Thomas kind of faith. Amen? This is the kind of faith nobody wants to have. Amen? John 20, are you there? I want you to know that when you miss church, you always miss something. When you skip church, you always miss something. And that's what happened with Thomas right here. Jesus appeared to his disciples and Thomas had skipped church and he didn't get to see it. That's what it says in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, that's Greek for doofus, was not with them when Jesus came. Amen? He skipped church. You always miss something when you skip church. You never notice, I never skip church. I'm always here. Because I want to hear what God has to say. I want to see what God's going to do. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. And he said unto them, and I'm the Queen of England. He said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the hole in his side, I will not believe. Whew, you think God was pleased to hear that? And after 8 days again, this is 8 days later now, on a week later on Sunday. His disciples were within, and Thomas didn't skip this week. Then came Jesus. See again, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, came right through the wall in his perfected body, and said, "Peace be unto you." And then he turned and he looked to Thomas, getting ready to address him for what he had said 8 days earlier. He said, "Reach hither thy finger, my brother, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side," just like you said last Sunday in church. "And be not what? Faithless." He called what Thomas said faithless, but be believing. Amen? Oh, and Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God, I blew it." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Amen? So here's the first kind of faith we're going to look at right here. As I said, I call it the Thomas kind of faith. And the Thomas kind of faith is the kind of faith that is based upon physical evidence. It believes only what it can hear, only what it can see or smell or touch and feel. Amen? It's based on physical evidence only. It does not believe what it cannot see, what it cannot hear, touch, feel. Amen? It believes only in the physical. It's the wrong kind of faith to be operating in. Amen? I so avoid the Thomas kind of faith. If I'm driving down the road and I see a sign out in front of a church and it says St. Thomas's, I put the brakes on and I back up and go down the street and look for a way around that building. I'm afraid something's going to jump out and get me. Amen? It believes only in the natural. Listen, God doesn't live in the physical realm. That's why the Thomas kind of faith will never profit anybody. You cannot receive the blessings of Abraham with the Thomas kind of faith. Amen? God doesn't live in the physical realm. He's a spirit. He's not a body. He doesn't communicate with man through man's body or through man's senses. Amen? God's not a soul. He's not a mind, a will, an intellect. He's not emotion. He has all those things, but that's not what he is. He's a spirit. He lives in the spirit realm. So he doesn't communicate with man through the soulical realm. He communicates with man through man's spirit because he's a spirit. He lives in the spirit realm, and the only way to communicate with him is through your human spirit in the spirit realm. But the Thomas kind of faith doesn't believe that. Amen? The Thomas kind of faith says, "I'll believe that when I see it." Amen? Acting upon physical evidence, emotions, or human reasoning, instead of relying upon what's written in the Word of God, means that you're trusting in the arm of the flesh and not in the Spirit of God. And you remember Jeremiah said, in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, he said, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man, and whose trust is in the arm of the flesh, his heart has departed from God." The Bible says when you refuse, well, let me say it to you this way. The Bible says when you insist on operating in the Thomas kind of faith, the kind of faith that will only believe what it can see, hear, touch, feel, and smell, that you've turned your back on God. People who say that the word of faith message is a cult in its error, they've turned their back on God. Amen? We believe in that which we cannot see. We believe the promises of God. And we don't need physical evidence before we believe. Amen? Anybody in here born again? How do you know you're born again? You're born again because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." You read that in the Bible, Romans 10:13, and you did it and you believe it. Is that right? Where's the physical evidence? I said, where is the physical evidence that you're saved? Show me some proof or I ain't going to believe it, baby. Where's the physical evidence that you're going to heaven? I want to see it. That's what Thomas says. I want to see it. The evidence that you have that you're saved, like Jane just pointed out, is right here in your lap in that book. It's right there in Romans 10, verse 13. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen? Now, if you were the type of people who operated in the Thomas kind of faith, you'd need physical evidence that you're saved, and you wouldn't go to heaven. You'd insist, "I'm not going to believe that I'm saved until I see physical evidence." That's stupid. That's ignorance gone to seed. Amen? And in the same way that you can believe that you're saved without seeing evidence of your salvation, you can believe that you're healed if you're sick in body. You can start out believing by faith for your healing, and it will manifest in your body. You don't have to see the physical evidence of it first. You start out believing, you take it by faith, and your body will catch up with your spirit, man. Does that make sense to anybody in here tonight? You have no physical evidence that you're saved, but you have scriptural evidence. Amen? Well, hallelujah. When we trust our circumstances and trust in the natural world, our hearts, Jeremiah said, depart from the Lord. Insisting on physical evidence is turning our back on God, Jeremiah said. Say, that ain't me. When you look at the stock market plunging and the banks failing, and you start crying out, oh, you turned your back on God. Amen? Well, my 401k! My 401, Pastor, my 401. What about my 401? I say, what about your 419? What about your 419? What about Philippians 4:19 that says, my God shall meet all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? When you look at the plunging stock markets and the bank failures in this country, Jeremiah said, you're turning your back on God. We are subject as tithe payers and offering givers to a higher economy. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. You know that the stock market the other day plunged 777 points? 777? 777? Anybody paying attention to that? 777? That's the number for God. Number 3 is the number for the Trinity. That's 3 sevens. Oh, we have so much faith in 666 and the mark of the beast. What about 777? God's saying through the plunging stock market, I'll just stop it right here if you'll pay attention, and I'll get it back up if you'll obey me. We've thrown God out of this country. I'm going to tell you something straight. We've taken the Ten Commandments off the walls of schools. We ripped them off and we put up posters showing children how to put on condoms. And God's saying, take them down, kiddos, and put the Ten Commandments back up. Bring prayer back in school and we won't have these problems anymore. We've thrown God out of this country. You don't really think it's a coincidence that the stock market stopped at 777, do you? In the media, it's 777 point something, so the media boosts it up to 778, because the devil controls the media. But it's 777. That spoke to me immediately. Whew! Hallelujah. Go to Romans 4. Hallelujah. You know, as you go to Romans 4, I want you to know I'm not afraid, and you shouldn't be afraid. You were birthed into this earth for such a time as this. Do you have any idea God can cause somebody to that you don't even know to come by your house and drop an envelope with hundreds of dollars on the porch? Do you realize that can happen? Thousands of dollars even? It did. Hallelujah. I'm not saying how much. I'm not saying that's how much. I'm just saying God can do it. You know what Terry says to Barbara and I all the time? I'm not worried. I know God's in control. I refuse to worry. I know God's in control. I got a testimony. Somebody did thus and such. Terry calls. I don't doubt it, Terry, because you refuse to worry and you keep saying God's in control. Amen? Amen? But the wine is in the ballers and the squallers. They block the spot where the supernatural help comes out. Amen. That's not the first time that's happened to Terry. That's not the second or the third time. And that is not the last time. Amen. Everybody say, what goes around comes around. Especially the good stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to just tell you, you're over there in Romans chapter 4. You put in your notes, if you would, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. The most repulsive development of his life. He's in the belly of a whale, swimming around in stomach bile. Talk about negative circumstances. Amen? Burning his clothes, burning his hair. Job looked around in the belly of the whale, in the darkness of that physical hell, in the most contrary circumstances, and you know what he said in Job 2:8? He said, when I look at my circumstances, he called his circumstances lying vanities. That's what he called the circumstances he found himself in. He called them lying vanities. The stock market plunge is a lying vanity to you. Bank failure, lying vanity to you. You're subject to a higher economy. That's why God says, for the love of Mike, will you pay your tithes? So I can get you through when the hard times come. Because things are going to get worse before Jesus comes, not better. Jonah said, when I look at these lying vanities, referring to his negative circumstances, he said, I forsake my mercy. He said that by the Spirit of God. He said, in essence, to look at your circumstances is to turn your back on God. Isn't that what Jeremiah 17:5 said? When you trust in the arm of the flesh and you trust in man, you turn your back on God. Amen? Oh, I just want to encourage you. Don't be... Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by the written word of God. Amen? I'm not moved by newspaper headlines, television headlines, internet headlines. I'm moved by the word of God. I am not going to look at my circumstances and compound them by whining and moaning and complaining, because in doing so, my Bible says, at least my Bible says, that to do so, I forsake the Spirit of the living God. I'm not going to get caught in that trap. Amen? We're spiritual people. We don't operate according to the Thomas kind of faith that demands physical evidences of God's provision and God's protection and God's promise. We walk in what I call the Abraham kind of faith right here in Romans chapter 4. Let's pick it up together, the Abraham kind of faith. Let's pick it up right here in verse 17. You get anything out of this tonight already? Hallelujah. Say, no, Thomas. Yes, Abraham. As it is written, Paul talking about God, talking about Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee, God referring to Abraham, I have, look at this past tense, before it even happened, God said to Abraham, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Look, God raises dead things, including economies and banks. Amen? If we'll just obey Him. He quickens the dead. And look at this. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's how faith works. See, God raises dead things, and He operates in faith by calling things that are not as though they were. By calling the sick healed. Amen? That's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Call things that are not as though they were. Your words have great power. Faith comes by hearing, it works by love. It's released through the mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. You let me know if I need to speak up a little and I'll accommodate you. Amen? Abraham, look at this. Against hope, he believed in hope. You know what that means? It means everything in the natural said, Bucky boy, you aren't going to have no baby at 99 years old. It was hopeless. But against those hopeless circumstances, he kept on hoping in God. Kept on believing in God. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken to him by the Almighty. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, through bawling and squalling, he considered not his own body, now physically dead. See, Thomas would have said, it ain't happening, and it ain't going to happen. Amen? When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He just wouldn't look at the natural. God said it, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Here Paul is using Abraham to show us how gospel faith works. You need a car? You best start talking, Carl. Amen? You need housing? You best start talking, housing. Amen? You best start speaking Philippians 4:19 over that need. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. Not according to my natural circumstances, but according to His riches in glory, His higher economy. How's it going to happen? How's God going to get a car to me? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. But all you need to know is He'll do it honestly, and He'll do it with integrity. Amen. Hallelujah. Talking to you tonight, amen. Abraham's faith was much different than Thomas's faith. Thomas's faith was a physical faith. Touchy-feely. Everything touchy-feely. Amen? I got to see it, I got to touch it. I got to taste it, I got to smell it. I don't believe it. Abraham's faith was a spiritual faith, or a faith that is based upon what God said and what God has written. Amen? How about you? You a Thomas or you an Abraham tonight? Amen? God's challenging you. Abraham believed according to what God said, not how he felt, not what he looked like, not what the wife looked like. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! They stopped sleeping in the same bed 40 years ago. Hallelujah. But God, hallelujah, everything in the natural said it wasn't possible for him to become the father of many nations. But Abraham hoped or believed in what God said. And he got that boy, didn't he? You know what Isaac's name means? You know what Isaac means in Hebrew? Laughing one. It means laughter. And if you keep on hoping against hope, even though your circumstances look like God's not going to come through, He will come through, and you can be a modern day Isaac. You'll be laughing. As a matter of fact, you ought to start laughing right now. At the devil. Job 5:22 says, you shall laugh in the face of destruction. When the devil says, you ain't going to get that car, you go, ha, 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 ha. Let's do it right now. Come on. You shall laugh in the face of destruction. That's why they named him Isaac. Laughing boy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Don't you love these hopeful messages? Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. He gave glory to God because he was fully persuaded what God had promised he was able to perform. You do a little thing and believe him. He'll do a big thing and he'll come through every time. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When God told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a child who himself would produce multiple millions of offspring, he did not say and do what Thomas would have said and done. Yeah, right. And I'm the Queen of England. Amen? That's arrogant what Thomas did. That's unbelieving what Thomas did. That's disrespectful what Thomas did. Amen? That's what happens when you're only in church half the time. You have a hard time believing. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As followers of Christ, go to Romans chapter 10 if you would. Amen? As followers of Christ, we must take the same stand of faith when it comes to the blessings of Abraham that Abraham took when it came to his own blessings. Amen? We can all experience the protection and the provision that God afforded Abraham if we will live in the same state of expectancy and obedience that Abraham did. Abraham lived in a constant state of expectation. That's what faith is, you know. It's expecting God to keep His word. It's expecting God to be true to His word. That's what faith is. That word faith in the original Greek actually means confidence. Confidence. It's just having confidence that if I'll do a little thing and believe Him, He'll do a big thing and pull through for me. God will pull you through every time. All you have to do is stand the pull. And sometimes it's like getting pulled through a keyhole. But if you'll just hold steady, watch your mouth, watch your love walk, God will pull through in even greater ways than you asked Him to. Didn't He say in Ephesians 3:20, He'll do exceedingly abundantly Above all, you ask or even dare to think according to the power of faith that works within you. Amen? Hallelujah. Where did I ask you to go? Hallelujah. Maybe I should get over there too. You know, if it was up to Thomas, there'd be no word of faith movement today. It'd be the word of doubt movement. Amen? A lot of churches operating in that movement. Amen? But we're part of the word of faith movement because we go with Abraham, not with Thomas. People who ridicule the word of faith movement, they have the Thomas kind of faith. That's what they're revealing. They have the Thomas kind of faith, the kind that insists on physical evidence or I will not believe it. But we are the word of faith movement. We have the Abraham kind of faith, the kind of faith that does not stagger through unbelief but believes that God is able to perform what he said he would perform. If it's in the book, that's all I need to know. It's mine. That's why I always say, you're not going to get your healing. You're not going to get your healing. You've already got your healing. Amen. Just start praising God. Be strong in faith like Abraham was and give glory to God for it before him. Even laugh in the devil's face beforehand. And you'll see it manifest in your body supernaturally. Amen. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. If you need a doctor while you're building faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And if the word of faith message is new to you and you're sick and you need a doctor, go. If you need medication, take it while you're building your faith. But keep building your faith and the doctor will tell you one day, you know, something's going wrong here. Let me just look at your records here and go back over there. You don't need that medication anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. You understand what I just said, don't you? Keep taking your medication. Don't take your glasses off and believe you're healed and hop in the car and drive through our neighborhood because we won't welcome you. Amen? I've seen people do it. Stomp their, take their glasses and throw them. I'm healed! No, you're not. You're stupid. That's presumption. That's not faith. You don't have faith for that yet. Keep building your faith, building your faith. And pretty soon those glasses, they're just, it's like that you don't need them anymore. You can cast them aside. Amen? But you've got to build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Build your faith. Build your faith. Amen? Somebody said to me, well, how come you wear glasses, Pastor, if you have so much faith? I'll tell you why. Because this is what most faith pastors do. They build their faith. They build their faith. They build their faith all week. And then they go and they release it on behalf of others. That's why. That's why. And then we got to go back and we got to tank up again. Amen? I'm believing God for my eyes. Amen? But this isn't about me. It's about you. Amen? Hallelujah. Some people don't want to believe. Use their faith for better vision. That's your prerogative. Amen? Hallelujah. But if you build your faith, it will work. Amen? So we've seen there's two kinds of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Whoo! And you cannot get the blessings of Abraham with the Thomas kind of faith. Let me just remind you that the Bible says in Galatians 3:29, stick it in your notes, and then I'll go to Romans 10 with you. Galatians 3:29 says, if ye be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. If you are Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and it is according to the same promises that God made to Abraham. The promises that God made to Abraham were spiritual, physical, and material. Spiritual, he guaranteed Abraham a place in heaven for believing that the Messiah was coming. Amen. Galatians 3:29. And I'm telling you that the blessings of Abraham are spiritual, physical, in material. And the Bible says, if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the same promise. The same spiritual promises that you'll live in eternity with God. The same physical promises that when sickness comes against you, you can defy its authority to come against you. And the same material blessings. My God will meet all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Those are the three primary blessings of Abraham. Amen. If you don't know what the curse of the law is and the blessings of obedience are, the curse of the law you've been redeemed from that Galatians 3 is talking about, and the blessings of obedience that Galatians 3 is talking about, you need to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's your homework assignment. Amen. It is shocking how many Christians are not acquainted with Deuteronomy chapter 28 when the Bible says in Galatians 3:13 and 14 that Christ hath redeemed you from the curses of Deuteronomy 28. That's the curse of the law. Amen. Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for you, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I'm moving quickly, you write this down, this is your homework assignment, you read it on your own time. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, are the blessings for obedience. The blessings for obedience. You really should read it. Amen. Verse 15 through the end of the chapter, which I believe is verse 68, verses 15 through 68 are all the curses of disobedience. Read through those real quick and get back to the blessing ones, 1 through 14. Amen? Because you're obedient believers. Amen? You don't qualify for the curse anymore. Amen? You qualify for the blessing. So Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 are the blessings of obedience. 15 through 68 are the curses of disobedience that Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 3. Amen? Now you keep in mind, could you go to Romans chapter 10? You find that for me in that Bible, if you would please, Barbara. Romans chapter 10, we're going to read it together. You know what you can also do, as Barbara's doing that for me? Put another finger in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Well, I remind you that everything you receive from God, you're going to receive the same way you received your salvation, with the Abraham kind of faith. You remember how you got saved? Do you remember how you got saved? Someone told you about Jesus. Someone told you that you needed to believe He's the only way to God and that God rose Him from the dead. You said, I believe. I believe God rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. And you did that with the Abraham kind of faith. You did not say, yeah, right, prove to me physically if I do that, I'll be saved. Did you? No, you didn't. That's physical faith. You did it with spiritual faith. You saw it in the book. Someone shared it with you. You applied it and you know you're going to heaven, right? That's how you got saved, with the Abraham kind of faith. The kind that doesn't believe. That doesn't require physical evidence. Not initially. Amen? That's how you got saved. And everything else you get from God from that point on for the rest of your life, you're going to get the same way. With spiritual Abraham kind of faith. You're going to have to believe it first and receive it second. Everything God does is 180 degrees reciprocal of the way we would do it. Amen? The Thomas kind of faith says, I'll believe that when I see it. And the Abraham kind of faith says, nope, you'll see that as soon as you believe it. Amen? That's how you got saved. You believed it. And you received it. Everything else you get from God, you're going to have to first believe you receive it and not be arrogant and not be a little spiritual punk about it and say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. I believe I have a new car when I see it. Well, then ain't no car coming, honey. Amen. Or if it does come, it'd be a big old piece of junk. Amen. From the devil. So I believe I received that vehicle. So I believe I receive that vehicle, Cynthia.
I believe I receive
it. In Jesus' strong name. That's the Abraham kind of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. You've got to walk around saying it. So we saw there's two kinds of faith. Let's look briefly just before we close here. I'm not going to keep you much longer at all. Amen? Hallelujah. And you're just going to have to take that with the Abraham kind of faith. Look, we're going to talk about two kinds of unbelief, but just very quickly. I'm just going to point them out to you in the Bible. Amen? Are you there in Romans 10? You know this verse, verse 17. Just want you to look at it, because faith comes by, enters in by the ear gate and the eye gate. Amen? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to talk about the two kinds of unbelief. Did I get that clear? There's two kinds of faith, there's two kinds of unbelief. Amen? The first kind of unbelief comes from a lack of knowledge. How does faith come? If you're not hearing the word of faith, you're not developing faith, are you? You're living in unbelief. You lack knowledge of God's word. Amen? Faith in God's word comes by hearing God's word, and only by hearing God's word. You can't pray for faith. You've got to get in the word, baby. That's how faith comes. When you don't do that, you remain ignorant of God's word, and you're in unbelief. I call that ignorant unbelief. You're just lacking faith because you've never bothered to get into the word. You've never heard the word properly taught. So you're lacking in faith, and it's a result of ignorance. Does anybody in here know what the cure for ignorance is? Knowledge. You can eradicate ignorant unbelief from your life by getting in the word. Knowledge is the cure for ignorance. And knowledge of God's word is the cure for what I call ignorant unbelief. So the first kind of unbelief comes as a result of ignorance of God's word. Okay? The second kind of unbelief I call rebellious unbelief. Hebrews 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. This is when people are not ignorant of God's word. They know God's word, but they refuse to step out and act on God's word. Amen? They refuse to walk in love, and they refuse to speak words of faith over their circumstances. So this I call rebellious unbelief. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 4? Look at verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, into God's rest, and they to whom, this is talking about Israel in the wilderness, they to whom it was first preached entered not into the promised land because of unbelief. They knew what God promised them. They heard all about it through the priest, through the prophets, through Moses and Aaron, but they refused to act on it. They knew what God had agreed to do. They heard all about what God promised to do for them, and they refused to act on it. That's rebellious unbelief. They weren't ignorant of God's will. They knew God's will, and they refused to step out on God's will. Well, that's rebellious unbelief. A lot of people do that today. They see it's in the Word, but they refuse to step out by faith and give God opportunity to manifest His promises in their lives. Look at verse 11. Let us therefore, let us labor therefore, talking to us now, the New Testament church, to enter into that rest, the rest that comes when we believe God. Amen? Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us rest in God's word. Let us believe God's word. Let us step out in faith on God's word. Or we're going to step out into the same rebellious unbelief Israel did. And they never made it into the promised land. We won't make it either. You're not going to get the blessings of Abraham with the Thomas kind of faith. Amen? God cannot bless ignorance. God cannot bless rebellion. Amen? So, let me just tell you another translation of verse 6 says, they entered not in because of unpersuadableness. They could not be persuaded to act on God's word. I am persuading you tonight. Whatever it is you need or whatever it is you need to be rid of, step out in faith, get your mouth in line with your prayers, and God will come through every time. Let's stand up and worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, stand up and open up your Bible to Acts chapter 27. This will be the last verse of Scripture I'll share with you. Amen. And I'm not going to take a lot of your time. I know I don't like to keep you standing up here unnecessarily long. We're going to dismiss with this. I want to show you a very quick example of the Apostle Paul going through one of the most extreme crises of his life, and how he refused to operate in the Thomas kind of faith, and he operated in the Abraham kind of faith, and what it did for him. Are you there in Acts chapter 27? He's on a ship now that's been in the midst of a storm, literally, for weeks. He was in the middle of a hurricane that lasted literally for weeks on a little wooden ship as he's being taken to Rome. And it seemed like all hope was gone. Everybody on the ship was giving up. They thought the ship was going to collapse and sink, and they're all going to drown. But look at what Paul said in Acts chapter 27, verse 23. He said to the crew, there were 276 people on this ship. Does it seem like maybe your ship is sinking tonight? Look what Paul said. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, in whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail on this ship with thee. And Paul said to the crew, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Listen, that was the word of an angel. The word you hold in your hand is even more sure than the word of any angel. I believe, sirs, it shall be as God has told you. If you have a financial need, God says He'll meet the need. If you have a physical need, a family need, God promises to meet that need, a material need, a financial need. Everyone say, wherefore, sirs?
Wherefore, sirs?
I believe. It will be as I've been told in the Word of God. I like to say what Paul said. I like to tell the devil, wherefore, sirs, I believe it shall be even as it was told me in the precious, holy, written Word of God. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
I encourage you. Turn your back on the Thomas kind of faith. Amen? I'm so opposed to the Thomas kind of faith, I won't even eat Thomas's English muffins anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me the bread of God's Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Worship Him if you would, please. Amen. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. Thank 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 Him.